Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look. Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week I have Dylan Vedderell with Vedderell Soccer Academy. He runs a great private coaching program in North Dallas. You'll see him on social media posting about Sunday pickup games, and you'll see about his practices that he runs and training sessions he runs in North Dallas. He's a great coach and has a great coaching staff around him. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
Dylan Vedderell with Vedderell Soccer Academy. You'll see us in Richardson or Coppell. Let's see here. Many see me as a coach, but at the same time, they don't realize I have a day job. I work in IT from about 8:30 to 4:30. And then that's when I take off the IT hat and throw on the soccer coaching hat per se, or grab the whistle or whatever you make, you call it. But yeah, so Vedderell Soccer Academy is the bread and butter for my passion, what I really enjoy. And as you could see from social media or just numbers, how much it's grown just in the last few years.
When you offer something good and it's consistently good and outproducing talent that you can actually see, it's easy to see and easy to continue, because word of mouth spreads much faster than social media ever will, as much as people like to think otherwise. So with that, so what type of personal training do you offer? I know you do some group stuff. Do you guys do individual? Do you guys do small groups, large groups, camps?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it started off where I was working with small groups, and then it moved into working with some private sessions. And then from there, as we grew, I started to create classes that would originally, it was a very wide range of players. It varied in level. And then once the numbers started to grow, like you mentioned, spreading like wildfire just by word of mouth, I had to differentiate hours to tailor that to beginner, intermediate, and elite. Now, the term beginner intermediate, and elite. That is the tough part on the skills training side of things, as well as the club side of things, because in the eyes of many parents, their player is elite, no matter if it's the 7 age, 9 age, the 15 age. But I do understand that you've got some players that could be 6 or 7 years old, and they've been playing for 3 years, and they wouldn't be considered beginners. It's more of a title of where you're at within our training. It's not necessarily, I've played for 5 years. We've had some players that have been 10 years old and need to be in the beginner group. And we've had some players at the six-year-old age that you're like, they're bored in the beginner group and they need to be in the intermediate group. So yeah, like I said, we've started with small groups, but we offer group training, private training, and classes. But the small groups and the private training are unique because it's tough to get an hour session with our coaches because of limited time in the day, limited hours of having availability on the field. A lot of that is reoccurring clients, and they're gifted that opportunity to renew for that hour of that day of the week. Otherwise, they jump into group training where a lot of parents are like, yeah, but we really want to work on this, which it's great. So there's benefits to both the group training and the private sessions. If you're looking to truly work on bringing the ball down out of the air or striking the ball or working on your left foot, maybe a private session is really for you. But if you're looking for a holistic approach of, just getting your kid better, go to the group training and you'll see that now your kid in the private session is not just coasting at their own speed. They're trying to keep up with a kid next to them that's better, but could be younger. And they're going, whoa, I'm 9. How is that 7-year-old beat me? Or they have somebody that could be 12 in the class that's also good, and they're looking up to somebody that's 12. Now they see them out at the soccer fields going, hey, how's it going, so-and-so? I love training with you at XYZ Academy, and I'm wanting to get to your level at some point. So
it's amazing to me how parents don't see group sessions. And I'm going to go back to what you talk about your phases. Like, you have your beginner, intermediate, and advanced, and you might have something else in there. I didn't write it down fast enough. Yep. I equate it to swim. Okay. And if you have a beginner swimmer and you want to put them in the advanced class, well, they're going to sink to the bottom of the pool.
Right.
And you won't have your little Johnny and little Susie anymore then. And I don't think parents look at it as that. They, like you said, every parent thinks their little Johnny, little Susie is the greatest thing since Swiss cheese, and or sliced bread, whatever the saying is.
Right. Right.
And I know where my kid stands on his team. I know what his strengths and weaknesses are, but I look at him as his jersey number, as his statistics. And I say this when I talk about my son, is his statistics matching the rest of the team, or is it falling below or behind? And where do we go from there? And I feel parents need to have the humble check as much as anyone else out there. And when we are looking at our players, how do you assess that beginner stage, intermediate, and advanced then? Or is there a, I don't know how to describe it, like a test they take or a...
No, and that's a great question. And that's been brought up a couple times. We don't have an evaluation period due to limited time at some of the locations. And that's something we'd love to fit in, which we may end up adding, down the road. But I have full trust in my coaches of stating, hey, these players they're honestly ready to move up. And then we attack that by going and approaching the parents and going, hey, they've done great, or whether it was over the course of 3 training sessions, 3 months, or it was their very first training going, yeah, this isn't the fit for your player. They need to be up or occasionally down, which isn't too common, but we do move them down occasionally. And then there's also the parent that sometimes signs up for the group that fits best for the hour of their schedule. And I go, if I catch that before the class, I'll, send them a very, professional email stating, I understand we want to get to that, but at the same time, out of respect to the other players, if it's best you show up at 5 o'clock. If you can't do 5 o'clock for today, I'll happily move you to the next day to fit your schedule. Because times are pretty consistent, but there's one or two days that do vary on those group classes.
I think that's the key, is making sure they're in the right group. Too many parents will throw their kids out to the, like I said, into the deep end of the pool, and they can't swim, and they'll sit there and flounder and flutter, and then eventually they'll just quit. And parents need to understand, I'm one of these parents, I'll raise my hand for this one, that my son or my daughter might need the beginner's course for a little while to make sure that they're doing the things correctly and before they move on.
The
And
other thing
it's
on that is
good.
just giving that player the confidence to go, hey, here's this session. This might not be the session for you, but let's just see how these new drills or technical patterns, or maybe it's a passing drill of different sequences or runs, overlaps or whatnot. Let's give them that confidence to go, okay, yeah, you're good at that level. Now let's promote you up where you're playing with some players that are 3 years older. So it's the same look and feel, but it's going to be at a completely different pace and speed of thought of, okay, that just ended, but I'm next to receive the ball. So am I turning, opening up body shape and receiving the ball to where now you're receiving it from a pre-ECNL player or an academy player when you're a younger player that isn't used to that speed of play. So you don't want to have them thrown in with the wolves and then, internally beating themselves up while dad or mom's on the other side of the wall, beating themselves up going, why is my kid not performing? I know they're good, but it's just, at times it's just a different, not just speed of play, but it's new things that are being introduced or like any, environment, new vocabulary. And they're
Right.
going, hey, I know how to do that, but the way you're saying it, I call it this. Which is totally fine. The biggest thing as a coach that, well, there's a number of things, but it's one of three things. And that is my coaches have to demonstrate and be able to do everything that we preach. If you can't do this skill yourself, then you're not going to be a part of our coaching staff. Why tell a 10-year-old, beat this player, bend it upper 90 if you can't attempt it and put it anywhere near the upper 90? Or if you're trying to do some type of advanced skill pattern or a passing drill, we'll get out there and show them what it looks like. The kids are sponges. They're going to absorb it and soak it up visually. So.
Now, do you guys treat it more like I call the tryout time frame for a team? I call it 6 training sessions with any coach, any new team, just because of terminology, nervousness, and then getting used to the new voices and the people around them. Do you guys take your time to evaluate, or is it a 2-3 session or 1 session and you already know? I mean, with some kids you can actually tell pretty quickly, but I feel like long-term wise, personality wise, with players, you might need more time. Do you guys have a time frame?
No, kids are very much like roller coasters. You don't see consistency in my eyes till about the very mature 15, 16-year-olds. A lot of times, whether you're the coach or the parent, you say, oh my gosh, I can't believe my kid was able to do that. That was phenomenal. And then 3 weeks later, you go, oh my gosh, why are we paying all this money? My kid, what is he doing? That's not my kid. But to answer your question in regards to that, the coaches at Vedral Soccer Academy, we're on an email and text thread constantly, daily, and we're making comments of player A has really, really improved the last few weeks and is really looking sharp. Player B is a really good player and notable, as a lot of notoriety on his team, but he's or she's taken a step back. Let's really, let's reassure them that they're confident and they're a good player, and let's give them some positive reinforcement to get out of that slump. You'll hear a lot of stopping, critiquing a particular player as well as the whole group. We won't necessarily always like call out, hey, player A, That was not a good pass. You need to be doing this. We'll say, hey guys, it's getting sloppy. We need to make sure we're doing this, this, and this so that it looks good as a team. Each line, we kind of continue to just verbalize that, hey, for this to work, for everyone to get better, everyone has to be communicating on their toes and working together as a unit. Because at the end of the day, this is a team sport. So, that's some of the reassurance we use vocally throughout our sessions.
That's so impressive because I feel like a lot of programs, I've sent my son to a lot of programs, my daughter goes to a couple, and I feel like a lot of times it is just a, here's the line, go get in it, do what we tell you to do. And sometimes they don't explain anything.
It may look like that from the fishbowl on the other side of the plexiglass or whatnot, because at the end of the day, I don't know what the parents can hear on that side. I don't have kids. That's not my role yet. My role is to make your kid better, and making your kid better isn't always meaning they can do rainbows and flicks and tricks. It may just be getting them confident and believing in themselves and their abilities that they may already have. While other times it's, hey, you're shooting at the goal, but have you even thought about where you're wanting to shoot the ball? Have you thought about putting the ball and hitting a particular target in the goal? It's not about just kicking it towards the goal or the goalie. I tell them a high level player is going to pick out an area of the goal, and then in a split second, they decide, is that ball bending? Is it driven? Is it chipped? And then they put it in that area intentionally. And whether if it's shooting, I want to get that player believing in their ability slowly but surely that they can hit that target. And then based on age and level, we'll progress it to a more difficult hit, whether that's a bending ball, driven ball outside of the foot, whatever it could be.
So, I'm going to relate this to an interview I did recently with a athletic trainer, and he talked about the mental state of the player coming out onto the pitch, and they can tell a lot what's going on with the player. And from the sounds of it, you probably spend more time trying to rebuild confidence with these players because they've been unfortunately browbeaten by coaches or parents or teammates. And then when they gain their confidence, are you able to push them a little harder than they when they first came in to, or do they, some players, and I know every player is different. I mean,
Exactly. Yeah.
are you
No.
able to help motivate them differently then?
No. Like you said, every player is different, and every player reacts differently to coaches. There's a few coaches that I have to be very vocal, while a few other players I have to go in, and while they're doing the drill or running into the space on the passing drill, I'll walk alongside them when I see them kind of breaking, and just say, "Hey, you got this. Come on, you just be a little bit more sharper on this, or you need to open up here and receive it with your left foot." Whatever it may be, I try to also pass that knowledge along to my coaches, going, let's be careful. Player A does not respond to yelling in negative or criticism. However, there's some players that you have to yell at when they've done something positive, but they turn like they're a abused, beaten dog, and you're going, no, that's exactly what I want. And then you just see a smile show on their face, and you're like, not only did they do great, but we both realized something was achieved and successful. And it's probably something that one of the coaches pointed out, and they saw that they were able to connect the dots. Mentorship is huge for all of us. There's a number of parents that have reached out to myself or to some of my coaches, and we've done, whether that's a video session, so sitting down for like a private session and just going over a videotape, because this day and age, you couldn't find the majority of my college film or indoor film or any of this, but you could watch a 7-year-old dribbling down the sidelines and scoring against who knows what team. And you can watch that all day and evaluate it and say, hey, you're really good, but you're 7, and the other kids on the field don't even know what they're doing. So whether we've sat down through videos or I've had another player that's a FC Dallas Academy player, very, very good player. Obviously, like any of us, has room for growth. But he was down mentally and he was off at an international tournament. And the dad just WhatsApps me and says, "Hey, so-and-so player is just really struggling. Is there any chance you can call him?" Well, yeah. Yeah, just tell me a time of day and I'll make it happen. So we called each other and we spoke on the phone for, it was only 30 minutes. He got a big game tomorrow. He didn't start the last game. He came on for 15 minutes. Next game, he starts 2 minutes in, scores a bicycle kick.
Oh my gosh.
This isn't anything. I mean, that's extraordinary, but it's nothing that I did out of the ordinary besides be a coach. One thing that we did a little differently that I may do with a younger player is while I was on the phone for 30 minutes, we did visualization. Hey, let's actually visualize you in the game right now. I know you're hours away and somehow we have cell phones that are capable to talk real time. Let's take advantage of that. Let's go ahead and say, all right, you're on the field right now for this country, you're playing against this country, you're starting the game, whistle blows. How are you going to positively impact your team? Well, first off, you're going to communicate. You're going to make sure your first touch is just a simple touch. Get in the rhythm, have fun. And then from there, it's going to be all about what effort are you bringing to the table? If you start visualizing that, then you're going to get it. You're going to be way more advanced than the others around you. I was so lucky to have that conversation. And then, you know, the next day tune in from my phone and go, I'm texting his dad going, is this live? This is real. I mean, 2 minutes in, it was amazing. So
I think that's the key. From the sounds that you spend a lot of time with mental toughness and, what's the word? Mindfulness. I think right. that's something a lot of coaches, private coaches, will just say, "Come here, do your technical stuff.
Yeah.
See you later." Sounds like you guys are offering more of a full package type deal, and customizing according to the player's need and desire, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's unique because I know there's people on the other side of this listening, going, "Well, I've been at the training and I didn't get that." We're also referring to a player that's, you know, been with me for 4 or 5 years. Well,
right.
over a course of, you know, working with me, you get to know me. I get to know them. I get to know the parents a little bit more because it starts off with a wave, you know, then it goes into once they see true results, they go, whether it's email, text, or, you know, seeing me at the next training going, "Wow, my 12-year-old has just really struggled in this area. Since we've come here, we're noticing improvement." That those improvements may not be 1,000 step overs or, you know, skills down the field. That's not the point. The point is, are you contributing to your team? And a lot of the contribution is measured by stats. I was not a stat guy. I was a center attacking midfielder, outside winger growing up. And then I got to college, played my freshman year quite a bit. And the next semester I go in my sophomore year to preseason and they go, "We're going to put you at the six, you're defensive center mid." And I'm like, well, first off, my question is why? And second is, as long as I'm playing, let's go. Just don't put me in goal. That's all. 5-6 isn't going to do much. So, yeah, I mean, and then you get into measurables at the collegiate level and they're going, how are you voting this guy as all regional team when he doesn't have any goals? And then that coach has to respond going, if you go watch our team tick, he's the one who makes it happen. So try to explain to the parents, no matter the level they're at, don't measure it on assists or goals. Measure it on contribution to your team. How many times are you turning the ball over? Right. How often are you completing passes? Are you winning the ball to retain possession every time your teammate gives the ball away? Take a look at things beyond the goals and assists. Goals and assists are very important. That's the name of the game. Win the game. But not everyone's going to score. So how do you measure those things? And I've discussed with parents, in my eyes, some of those things to achieve. And it starts with writing your goals down. Short term, long term. So that we then have measurables of going, hey, short term, these are now your true goals that we can go and check off. So I've had a number of players do homework because we give homework quite a bit. Now, to be realistic, 80% of them forget or don't come back with it or didn't do it. And we see that. If the homework is go get 20 juggles and video it and then show me, A, the person that does it and gets to 20, they're thrilled. They're pumped. They're telling mom, no, don't email it later. Email it now. And then I see the kid that can't get 3. Okay, you didn't try to go and achieve 20 juggles. So goals are very important, short-term, long-term, long-term. And one thing that I also ask of them is, when you've written it down, bring me a copy. How is a trainer going to help your player if we don't even know your goals? At the end of the day, you go to a athletic trainer, a gym, and you go, hey, I'm looking to get bulky. I'm looking to get faster. I'm looking to jump higher. You just show up. They're going to get you bulky. And you go, well, I was trying to dunk the basketball. I can't do it now. So I just want to make sure, you know, things are aligned. And I want it to come from not just the parent. I want it to come from the player. So
do they come in?
Very, very important.
With the goals and everything, do they come in? Do you guys have like a pre-registration where they come in with expectations of what they're hoping to see? Or is this part of the one-on-one time you get to talk with the players to see what they truly want versus what the parents want? When I coached, we'd always send out an evaluation for the parents every 6 months to write down the players' goals, what they wanted. You could always tell the ones that were parent influenced and always the one that was player wanted.
Right.
And it was very easy to tell. It's like, I can still tell you some of the funniest ones I've ever heard. And one was a compliment to my son, and one, which as a dad, it was very humbling, but at the same time, it's like, no, like it's like the chat was with the parents. Like they need to be the best Billy, not the best
version of themselves.
Right. Exactly. They don't, I tell my son, like, who's your greatest athlete? Like, who's your favorite player? And he'll say Messi. And I'm like, now I know he's your idol and you look up to him and you have him on your wall and in multiple places, but who do you want to be? And he goes, I want to be like Messi. I'm like, no, get this wanting to be like someone that's out of your head very quickly. And I feel like private coaches have the opportunity to instill that. And that's one thing that Landon's private coach, he's had kind of made him realize, like, be the best you. Who cares what your idol is? Be you, because at the end of the day, who are they going to be chanting at the end of the day? Are they going to be chanting Messi, or are they going to be chanting Babcock?
Right.
And at the end of the day, what one do you want them chanting? And I think that is the one thing parents, I'm included in this conversation when setting our players' goals. It's keep it simple, stupid. It's making it so it's achievable and attainable. The big one that has really changed me with my son, do you guys do, and I know I'm not trying to set you up here, but do you guys say, give me 110%, or I tell my son, like, I want to see you play like it's an 80-minute match. I don't want to see you play a 60-minute match. I want to see you play an 80-minute match. Do you guys use terminology like that with these individual sessions?
Absolutely. It varies on age range. So, for example, some of my older players, they were pushing themselves to a very, very fast pace. One of the guys goes, hey, let's grab a water here soon. And I said, okay. Go ahead and let's get water. And I'm not against water or anything, or getting, you know, staying hydrated, but we're putting in work. Unless you're sick or not feeling well, yeah, go get water. But where's water at? That's on the sidelines. So how are you going to score a goal or contribute to your team if you need to go to the sidelines? So it was just a little bit of a push of the button, and then you see mindset change, effort change. Younger players, you can give them the reference of, hey, don't give me 80%, give me 110, all that stuff. But back to the goals, real quick. Yes, when it's one-on-one, we have a form they'll fill out and say, hey, we want to achieve this in the time frame of the hour or long term over a consistent set of sessions. The group sessions, they in the form, it doesn't necessarily have that, but they can add additional information. And throughout time, once they're there longer, building that relationship, then of course we hear a little bit more on emails of doing great in A, B, and C, but needs work on this level. So that's been something we've seen quite a bit. And your reference to Messi and your son, I've used this quite a bit, whether it's us doing a quick chat in between a drill while one of the other coaches is either breaking down or setting up. You'll look around and I'll give the reference to a Real Madrid jersey. Recently, a Jaden Shaw jersey for the women's US team, could be Alex Morgan. I'll ask them, so why are you wearing an Alex Morgan jersey? Well, because she's great. That's a lot of the response. Okay. The effort you just gave me just now, will anyone buy your jersey right now? And they kind of look at me, confused. Well, no. Okay, well, how do we consistently try to make results to whether you want to call it the 1% a day, whether you want to just have some type of achievement to improve daily? That if your goal is to be a pro, how are you going to get not just the name on the shirt, because nobody's buying the name of the player sitting the bench? How do you become the superstar or a high-level contributor so that everyone is wearing a Babcock USA shirt? Like, now go get water and let's come back and show me what that looks like effort-wise. Boom, scene, done, cut. All right, now they're back from water. Let's see what you got to offer. Let's go. And that's kind of just the motivation of just something on the side that we've actually used with the name on the back of the jersey.
I love that. I think that is very critical. Now, as you guys go through your sessions, I was always told kids are like popcorn, and you never know when they're doing a pop. You never know, and it's just a matter of time when that light bulb finally goes on and everything just starts clicking. And do you guys experience much of that as often as I anticipate you would, or do you guys feel like it's more of the long pop and it takes time for you to for everything to marinate for them, so to speak, bringing food language, sorry, into the conversation, to marinate for them to actually grow and develop, or is the kids just come in and parents just come in wanting some form of improvement over time?
I can guarantee improvement in areas. There's going to be some type of improvement, whether it's being comfortable on the ball, using your left foot, using your right foot, using different surfaces of the ball, playing faster. But at the same time, it's all about, and we see different things. We've seen great trainers, or sorry, great players that train very well. And we've gone and watched games and it doesn't translate. And they're not a gamer. Then I've seen players that get tons of results in the game, and you put them in an organized training situation and you go, oh, they've scored everything with their toe, or just because they're very fast, or they can kick the ball above the goalie's head. And you go, they don't even know how to receive the ball. They only know how to run onto the ball into space. So, Ian, there's any coach could tell you that it's just such a wide range of type of player. And at the end of the day, we could have 10 coaches sit down with seven players. And let's say you can only start five aside. And I would say it's probably rare that everyone has the same lineup because of whether it's your style of play. Now, when you go into not even five aside, you say, okay, let's put in your best 11. Well, that's the tough thing. Everyone sees the game differently. They want to play the game a little differently. But yeah, it's been really unique because I've been on the side where I was a club coach. I've been on the side where I was a trainer, and it's wild when you see a guy that's just doing all of this stuff at a high level in your training, and then you go to a game and it's just not what the representation you had of that person in your head on a game. It could have been a bad day, but when you see the second game and you go, ooh, we've still got a lot of work. A lot of times it could be not understanding the speed of play and how quickly to adjust, or it's just the mental game. Not many people talk about the mental game. The mental game is so important, and it's what keeps players from going to the professional level and other players, sitting on Saturdays at the bar watching their teammate or former teammate and friend on TV. So it's the mental game is wild.
So with what everything you do you guys have someone that work with them on mental toughness and mental mindfulness?
I wouldn't
Or
say
is
we have I wouldn't say we have a dedicated coach, but I would say at least three to four of us have talked extensively to a set of players regarding the mental side of the game. And then we've, of course, made reference to mentality, getting over the hump, and just the mental side of the game throughout the course of some training sessions, more in the elite side of training.
I find it fascinating that how much the game has changed in the last decade. I think across sports in general, the mental conversation and the yips, if you want to call them, or whatever you want to call them, part of the game is
Right.
fascinating to me because as a parent, we always want our kids to be successful. And I felt like my son, when he went through tryouts this past year, didn't get looked at because he was in a personal slump for whatever reason. And you never know when they plateau or regressed. It's like I said, I feel like the progression line, I don't know what meme I saw it on, what Facebook group, but it's a straight line. You see like progression forward up, and it's like a little tornado
Yeah,
below,
it's
above, and above the line. And I feel like that is all mental. And I feel like a private coach can change that. I know when my son works with his private coach, his confidence is so much higher. And it really does change him getting onto the pitch. It's like, I am dying because it's been about 5 months since the last time we've been able to work with him just because he's in Plano, I mean, Frisco, and we live in Keller. And it's and our coach, this is the first coach we've had where if there's not a game, he's scheduling a scrimmage. And I'm not going to go have my son go play in a 2-hour scrimmage time frame, then go spend however long the private coach wants to spend with him until Landon's. I don't want Landon to, like we talked about, the burnout, and it's the burnout phase of everything, and it's you just don't want the burnout to happen. Now, when you guys, and this is more on the administration side for you, because you're growing so largely. So large, and I wouldn't say more organically than in a forced. Are you guys able to bring in high quality private coaches? Is there a vetting process so parents understand that you're not just bringing in
Yeah,
Joe
no, that's a
Schmo
good
off
point.
the street? Because I feel even if you have a coaching license, I feel like the US coaching model for licensing is creating lazy coaches because it's the party practice play and they don't intervene as much as they should. Or that's been my experience watching coaches.
No, that's really good question. So I mentioned before, I have three things that you have to do. So one is, you got to sit across from me. I've had a few coaches reach out. We've obviously not taken a few coaches through the process over the last few years, or I guess per se, just didn't make it to the next interview. And that has a lot to do with sitting down with me and how well do you communicate? You don't have to be perfect. I don't want you to stand up in front of 300 people. I don't like talking out in public. I don't even like standing up in my IT gig and having to give an update, but occasionally I have to do it. So on the middle side, I get the yips sometimes in that regard. So back to that, I got to have you sit down because I need to know who you are because you're going to be a role model and relate to kids. So I do my due diligence with getting to know the person, just like you did before me. You looked on social media, you did some Googling, what's showing up on your personal social media. What character am I about to have an interview with? And then the second thing is, okay, what's your resume? Great. The number of professional players that I've sat across from, not to join my group, but just in regards to having a beer, relaxing, or playing pickup with, or whatever it may be, they're great soccer minds. They're not ready for youth soccer. They can't relate to the youth player. So I have to have a coach that's going to be able to relate to a youth player, have the patience to work with a youth player, to be able to communicate to the parents. The parents want to know, where do you see my kid fit? More so on the coach that's dictating playing time, but they also want to know, or at least give some feedback of, hey, we really like this, but can we tailor it to this for our player, for our private? Okay, great. So it's going to be how well do you communicate and are you showing up to have that interview? We've had some coaches that don't show up or showed up 30 minutes late. And I'm like, oh, where were you at? I just got done with a game. Oh, great. Did you win? Yeah, I won. Okay. What was the game? Was it who were you playing for? Oh, it's just co-ed down at City Futsal. Time out. You just showed up 30 minutes without communicating to me. Because you had a co-ed game? Okay, let's go ahead and you ruined it for yourself. And then the third thing, aside from personality, role model, resume, is how can you tell somebody to do something if you can't do it yourself? So it's back to all my coaches have to be able to do what they're preaching. So I don't care if it's Coach Brian, Coach Preston, if you're telling a player you need to do this, don't send another player out there that's your best player to do it. Go do it yourself. Whether you do it as good as the elite player or not, you have to be able to do it. Receive the ball out of the air, put it down, good first touch, and hit it. Show the players, show them what it looks like. But also, you're showing them at potentially a speed that they've never seen before up close. We recently had a camp where is the first time we've done this. We allowed some of the coaches to play against some of the older players where it was all coaches versus some of the other players. And if that team that the coaches were playing against, it was first to two. If they lost, oh, you're off, next group. It was like heads were spinning. They hadn't seen the ball move that fast. And you're not even talking about a set of coaches that are currently playing college or a set of coaches that are playing professional. Now you've got mom and dad going, whoa, my kid's the best 12-year-old on the block. And then you've got, why am I a 39-year-old, running by your player that's the best kid on the block? So just a little eye-opening, just something to say, hey, just like anything, math. Coding, the English language, there's levels. So it's wild to see. But yeah, in the coach regard, those three things are very important. It's crucial. Like I said, we don't have a ton of coaches, but we have enough coaches to where I'm very confident in both their ability to relate to the player, their ability to demonstrate, and the biggest thing that I would toot our own horn about is 100%. I've got incredible characters, personalities, and trustworthy individuals that are just great human beings. So that's huge.
Hey everyone, I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch with Coach Dylan. It's a two-part series, so next week will be part two. I hope you guys will stick around and listen to that next episode and listen to what he has to say. I really enjoyed this first part and what he had to say, but I'll wrap it up really quickly and we'll just have to wait until next week. Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.